Hello and welcome to this week's episode of H&A.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Alex. On this week's episode,
we delve deep into the Madeleine McCann case and answer a few questions about lawyers, tea, poker, postmen, lizards and penises. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing a bit better now. I had a little bit of a swollen gland earlier this week, which wasn't
delicious.
Fun. It was quite sore. So I do have a cup of tea with me this week.
Lovely. No slurping now.
I'll try my best. but yeah, doing better. How are you doing?
We're definitely more awake this episode.
We are. Than last week. But that's because it's like 5 p.m. instead of 10 a.m.
10 a.m. It wasn't even 10 a.m.
No, I think it was like 9:30.
It was 9:30. We truly apologize for that episode because it's atrocious.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
We truly apologize that you've had to go through that with us.
Yeah.
But recording podcasts in the morning is not a good idea for us.
No, we need that mad energy that you get by actually going through a day.
Definitely. We need to be slightly delirious by the end of the day.
We do.
So, episode 10. Is that not a little bit...
That's quite exciting, crazy? That. It's just so
it is.
We're getting there.
We're in double figures now. Episode 10, which is nice.
Oh,
which, I mean, you're still going to see a lot of format changes and changes.
Yes, because we're still trying to figure out what's best for us, what's best for your listeners, like, we're trying to figure out the best format for us to do.
Yeah, so this episode we are going to try something a little bit different, so prepare for that, but
yeah,
I think it'll work, hopefully.
I'm excited for this change. I think it'll work best for us. Definitely.
I think so. How has work been this week? Has your Britney-style trousers gotten any better?
No.
Oh.
No. So, I actually put them on for the first time. They are a size 8 to 10, which is my size.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it has a regular leg.
Oh.
And anyone who knows
me...
you're
like 5 foot nothing.
I am short. So this leg goes maybe a good 2 inches past my foot.
That's a big difference.
It's a lot. Like... we're talking like this much.
Yeah. Like, so, as your Instagram bio used to or still does say that you were 5 foot fuck all.
5 foot fuck all is my Instagram bio. Still is. Yeah, so I had to figure out how to do that. So what I've done is I've rolled them up the same way, if anybody knows Lucian Yak, the same way you would a Lucian Yak jean, where you do one roll, a little fold, and then roll further. Mm-hmm. So then you get a cinched bottom to your trouser leg.
A cigarette pant, if you will.
Yes. So I had to do that. And then I actually started working in them. Mm-hmm. And because I'm driving and then moving stuff quite a lot, and they're a canvas trousers.
Yeah.
So they're very stiff. And I find
a bit starchy.
Yeah, very starchy. So they just cut into my midriff the whole time I'm sat down. They don't stay up very well then when I'm stood up, because they're actually like, I've got space in them, like waist wise they're the right size, they just have no give in them whatsoever. So as soon as I sit down, it cuts into me. So I started wearing my jeans again because I couldn't handle. So I think what I might do is I might try and get like some blue, like dark blue jeans that I find comfortable and wear them.
Is there a uniform complaints kind of procedure?
I don't know.
Can you say to Tesco, these are shit?
I don't
fix
know.
Them.
But I'm tempted to give one pair back and get a pair of these smart trousers and see if they're any comfier.
I think you should get the pencil skirt.
No. That's all I have to say to that is no.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no, I genuinely think you should get the pencil skirt.
No.
A pencil skirt and a high-vis would be a look.
It's a choice. No, I'm going to try the smart trousers and see how they are. If they're not comfortable, then I'm going to get my own pair of blue jeans.
Yes.
And that's my plan.
Most likely a Lucy and Yak.
Yeah, probably, actually. And I'd probably get a pair of the, like, the baggy, elasticated waist ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love a Lucy and Yak.
We love a good Lucy and Yak. But yeah, that's how work is. That's how that's going.
That sounds lovely.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm still not working. So.
Meanwhile, Alexander is still unemployed.
I'm still unemployed. I had a job interview this week. Didn't get it.
No.
Just applied for a job, so hopefully we get it. And then we're in a similar role. I would be delivery driving for Iceland.
Love Iceland.
I am the reason mums go to Iceland.
You don't even work there yet, but you are the reason.
I am the reason. It's been an interesting week, news-wise. We say this a lot recently because every week is an interesting week, news-wise, but this week, very much in particular.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
2020 has taken a turn. You kind of expected 2020 just to be the year of COVID.
A shit show?
Clearly. Yeah. Yeah, 2020 is a shit show. I expected 2020, the main news, to be COVID.
Yeah.
But Madeleine McCann might be making a return.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going with that. But yeah, they might have a lead on Madeleine McCann.
Yeah. They did say, in German, not in English, so the rough translation to the very first opening line of the German police commissioner's press conference was, Madeleine is dead. So that is a glimmer of hope for the McCanns right there, isn't it?
Fantastic. Wonderful.
I mean,
I think people have forgotten that they're actual people.
I think so. As much as... Actually, no. I was going to say as much as I feel sorry for Kate and Jerry McCann, I really don't feel sorry for Kate and Jerry McCann.
Yes, this is the controversial part.
I feel
of
sorry
this.
For Madeleine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who I feel really sorry for, actually?
Whom?
The other two kids.
The twins. Yeah.
Because they're having to live with Kate and Jerry McCann as their parents.
But also, I feel like everyone forgets that they have other children. Especially when it all, like, first happened. Like, there was loads of news things where, like, Kate McCann was... like photographed, like almost like she wasn't a mother anymore. Like there was very little kind of reference to the fact that she had other children. And I, yeah,
it's a weird, it's a very this episode is taking a weird turn like usual, but
as per,
yeah, it's it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
And you kind of forget it's real.
Yeah.
Because I think we've heard so much about it. Because, well, obviously, news channels get very obsessed over certain stories. So, like, this year, news channel obviously obsessed with COVID because they're allowed to be obsessed with COVID. But before that, they were obsessed with Brexit.
Yeah.
And then the last massive one I remember would be McCann's.
Yeah, it went on for so long. And it's crazy to think how long ago it was. Because I was in primary school.
So would I be, probably.
Yeah.
Controversial opinion here. It still stresses me out that the McCanns haven't been tried for anything.
Yeah. I'm not saying they did it. I'm just saying it's an option.
I'm not saying that they kidnapped Madeleine, killed Madeleine, whatever.
I think there was some negligence.
Yes. Like, I'm not even a parent. And I know that no matter how close your kids, your apartment is to that restaurant, you don't leave your three kids sleeping
in a
holiday apartment alone when they're out of sight.
No.
You don't do that.
No, you go out as two families or however many families it was for dinner, for food. And then you have, like, you decide to then have drinks in one of the rooms and put all the kids to sleep in one of the other rooms. So that you're one door over.
I don't know whether it is, looking back on it, because I don't really know, was it, if it wasn't a thing that was done back then?
I don't think so. The closest thing I think would be so my parents would let us go to sleep in hostel rooms and mm-hmm. go down to the kitchen or the dining room, mm-hmm. but they're within mm-hmm. the same building, mm-hmm. you know, it's they're not big hostels. And we weren't young either.
But no, yeah. It can, they have came out and said Madeline, they believe, is definitely dead.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
No, because...
It would be a freaking miracle if somebody, Well, because she'd be my age.
No.
Yeah. One second.
She's younger than us.
One second. Okay, she'd be 16, 17 now.
Right, so she's my sister's age. My sister's age. Mm-hmm.
So there's no way you'd be that age and not be aware of the fact.
Mm-hmm. That Madeline, yeah. But then that's the thing, right? I wouldn't be surprised if 2020 just throws that curveball. And it's just Madeline McCann's living alive
to be
in
honest,
Germany.
To be honest, if any year was to spit out an alive Madeline McCann at age 17, it would be this one.
It would be 2020, yeah. But the thing is, right, mm-hmm. if she is out there alive, this is all hypothetical, she's going to be completely different because she won't know that she's Madeline McCann.
Yeah.
She'll probably speak German.
Yeah, that's the thing.
She'll probably not have any recollection of her being kidnapped.
Because she was,
who Kate and Jerry are, and she'll not know who the twins are.
Yeah.
So what did they do in that situation? She's 16. She's legally an adult.
Well, see,
do they have to give her back to Kate and Jerry?
They did this in Grace.
Okay.
So there was a situation where a girl came into the hospital, she was brought to the hospital, and it turned out that she'd been kidnapped when she was really young. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really, she didn't recognize her parents, or, she was aware that she was not where she was meant to be.
Yes.
But she wasn't aware of who her parents were or how she got into that situation. Right. And I think they had to do lots of therapy, but it was very much on the kid and how she was feeling and what she wanted. But I guess if they didn't, then they'd go into the system, or they'd go into some kind of independent living.
It's so weird. I bet you Kate and Jerry would write another book.
I forgot they wrote a book.
Oh, they've written two.
About this?
Yeah, they profit off of Madeline on the regular.
That's shocking. I did not know that they were profiting off of this.
Did you genuinely know? Okay, I need to look at what books they've written. I'm pretty certain they've written two. Sorry, we're just constantly researching things here. Oh my god, their book is 99p on Amazon. They've written one.
What's it called?
I think it's just called Madeline. Madeline, Our Daughter's Disappearance and the Continuing Search for Her, by a book by Kate McCann.
Do they understand how many kids have gone missing? I don't understand why this is such a big one.
It says all royalties are donated to the Madeline Fund.
So, the McCanns?
Basically.
I just don't understand why this one got so much hype.
Neither do I. I don't know whether it got so much hype because it was very suspicious about the parents.
Because I understand that it's young, but the amount of times I see on Facebook people posting things like, we've not seen this person for several days, none of them have freaking books or news reports or...
And millions of pounds of taxpayer money paid on...
Exactly. I don't understand why this has got such a big hype.
No. Some of the chapters... are a family of five turned to four, the holiday, missing, the birth of our campaign, no stone unturned, 100 days after, the fantasy lands, action on three fronts, the good, the bad, and the mad, standing up to the truth and adapting to our new life.
I have no more words for this.
Oh God.
I think it's time to move on.
Moving on. So, we've had an interesting development in the Leon case this week, haven't we?
We have.
Speaking of missing people. So, we received an Instagram message from Dear Abby.
We did. Hi, Dear Abby.
Hi.
I don't know why I just addressed her as Dear Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby. Well, her name's not really Abby, but
yeah,
whatever. She was lovely.
Mm.
Really, really, if not a tad scary at points.
Intense.
Yeah, very intense. Lovely, lovely lady is dear Abby. Unfortunately, she informed us that all information for... Oh, what am I trying to say? All information for the people that have asked questions are destroyed after a year.
For GDPR.
For GDPR. So
I just did my training.
Can't get in contact with Leon that way.
Do you know they actually have to legally
she was...
keep it for a year? Like, they can't throw it out before a year?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dear Abby is not the way for us to find Leon.
But we're still searching.
But we are still searching. We will find this man of many milks.
On that note, though, we are going to do a few more Agony Aunt questions this week, aren't we? Because they are our favourite part of doing the podcast.
They are.
So...
yeah, I think this is going to be the format from now kind of on a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
So we're going to start with our first ever listener question.
Yay. Well, we had our question from Zane and Will, but...
yes. This is our first ever...
but this is a listener-submitted question. Also, the first ever time that Hannah is going to read an Agony Aunt question.
Controversial. So we are going to keep our listeners anonymous unless they ask otherwise. Mm-hmm. So, our question from Anonymous. Are you ready?
I am very ready.
Okay, so... I adore my boyfriend of 6 years. He's intelligent, accomplished, emotionally mature, kind, loving, and funny. But he's fat.
Oh.
When we first started dating, he was very hot, very muscular, and he was a mountaineering guide. Now he's a lawyer, and most of the muscle has turned into fat. When he gets home from work, he sits on the couch drinking beer and watching bad TV. He'll do that for an entire weekend if I don't persuade him to get out and do things. Is there a way to tell him to shape up?
Ooh, that's a tricky one.
Yeah.
That's a really tricky one. I mean, where has the where is the motivation disappeared? When did that disappear? That's something you need to look at, I think.
I feel like it has something to do with the job.
I think so.
Because he was a mountaineering guide. So I can say, from personal experience, I will put on weight when I'm not working because my work is my exercise.
Yeah.
Which is clearly what's happened with him, because if he's a mountaineering guide, that's where he's going to get his exercise from.
Yeah. And a lawyer is a soul, I wouldn't say soul destroying, but it's not exactly a soul gratifying job.
Exactly. And it is a lot of
sitting at kind a desk.
Researching and sitting. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess that's maybe to do with it, because then, you know, if you've been getting your exercise just by going to work, then it's then hard to build that in as an extra outside of work.
Yes. I think...
what I would recommend...
okay.
...is maybe doing the shopping for him.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, they've been together 6 years, right? So that's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm guessing they live together and...
you would hope after 6 years.
Yeah. So assuming that they're living together, you start doing the shopping... mm-hmm. Doing the cooking, then there's kind of, you know, you can control what food you guys are both putting into your bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the weekends, when he's not working, maybe try and rekindle that love for his previous job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and decide to go on hikes.
Yeah,
you know,
I think,
and try and do it in a way that it's about spending time together rather than just purely exercising. Like, I would not recommend just telling him to go to the gym.
No, that's not going to work. He needs to try and rekindle that love that he had for his job before he became a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I have so many questions for this person.
Okay.
Like, I want to know, where did the job come from? Where did, like, the lawyer, I'm guessing he went to law school.
Where did that change come from?
Yeah. Yeah, like, because that's a change.
It's a drastic change, yeah.
That's a definite change, going from being an outdoorsy mountaineering guide to all of a sudden becoming a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's chalk and cheese.
I also think that obviously if it's a substantial amount of weight that's gone on and you're kind of concerned health-wise, fair. But if it's just a bit of chub and you're missing the fact that you had a six-pack, maybe look at what's important to you in that relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if it's just aesthetics, then,
then maybe look at yourself rather than him.
If it's he's all of a sudden became morbidly obese and sits around eating donuts all day, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Then it's more of a point of he's changed who he is, and it can be a health issue. So yeah, I'd have a look at where it's stemming from and go from there.
Yes, I think so. I think that, I think it's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the most serious Agony Aunt question we've ever done.
Yeah. I think some of the Agony Aunt questions we've had have maybe been a little bit exaggerated, though, as well.
I do think so. There's some coming up that are very exaggerated.
I'm excited.
But that's just the type we enjoy.
Yes.
I think it is a tough one, because you cannot just go up to him and be like, right, you're fucking fat, get up, work out, change.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, that's not going to work.
Definitely.
You have to start building it into both of your lives.
Yeah. Even if you are happy with your body, you are happy with what you eat, changing to eat more healthily isn't going to have a negative effect on you. So for you to work with him and work together to both become more healthy people will encourage him.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, even if you do eat healthy and you make separate meals, or he makes separate meals for himself, I think change that and
start make a point. Having it that, like, you know, dinner times are together, that you then use leftovers for lunch the next day, so he's not going and buying food, you know. Kind of do that, so then it becomes
having a meal together.
Yeah, so then it becomes kind of activities that you do together, and it's about you guys spending time together rather than it just being eating. About getting healthy, you know.
Yeah.
So I think
I think we answered that relatively well.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a quick break now, and we'll be right back with some more questions.
Beautiful. Okay, so would you like a question about a dog, some nail polish, a game of cards, or a cup of tea?
They were all options. I thought they were going to be under the same story.
No. These are all
okay,
options.
Sorry. Give me my options again.
So you've got a dog, some nail polish, a game of cards, or a cup of tea.
Well, seeing as I have a cup of tea, let's go for a cup of tea.
I would finish that cup of tea before we go into this question.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, what is that going to went up my nose?
Delicious.
Okay, yes, I'm ready.
I'm a 35-year-old man. My wife has a strange habit of urinating in the tea she serves guests at our home. She says it gives her a kick. Though at first I was shocked, I've started to enjoy it too. In fact, I do the same when making tea for my guests. I've heard that it is safe drinking urine and it is not harmful. Is it safe to continue doing this?
I mean, medically, yes, but ew! Ew!
Told you to finish that cup of tea.
Why?
I don't know. There's no answer to, like, why.
What part of you goes, you know what would be really fun? Something to do to our friends?
Yeah.
Let's kissing their drinks. Why? And why has no one noticed?
Uh-huh.
I notice when somebody puts 1 teaspoon less sugar in my milk, in my tea. How has nobody noticed? Where is this? I bet you this is in America, where tea is all tastes like piss anyway.
Probably. I feel like it's probably in America. Let me see if there's any.
How do you not notice that there is pee in your tea?
Did you just say pee in your tea or tea in your tea?
I said pee in your tea.
I thought you just said, how do you not notice that there's tea in your tea?
No.
Pee in your tea.
Papa echo echo in your... I can't remember what the tea is.
Papa echo echo.
What's tea? I can't remember what...
It would be Tango Alpha
Tesla
Echo.
Tesla Echo Echo.
Tango Alpha Echo.
I like my one of Tesla.
Papa Echo Echo in your Tango Alpha Echo. No. The answer is just no. Don't do it.
Pure disgust.
Do you want to know the answer?
Absolute disgust.
Do you want to know the answer that the Agniant gave? Okay. This habit is unfair to your guests who do not get a kick from it when you're inflicting it on them. Please do not invite me over. Yes, urine therapy is practiced, but it is done with the patient's consent.
Yeah. It's like doing, this is like doing medical experiments on people without consent.
Yeah.
That is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not okay.
It's so wrong. You're violating so many rights and no. Uh-huh. Just no. No.
I'm still confused at how the people don't notice, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Either these people are very, very hydrated and their pee doesn't taste of anything and it's just pure water. Or these people just don't have any taste buds.
Yeah. Either that or they only drink tea when they go to their house and they just think that's what tea tastes like.
Like piss.
And it would be rude to say no.
Oh no, this is just me. And I just don't ever want to get a cup of tea from someone else's house ever again.
Nope. I'm making my own cups of tea now.
Yeah.
Forever
and
always.
Stand and watch them make them.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
The kettle must be filled from the tap.
Right. Okay. So now, would you like a question about a card game, nail polish, or a dog?
I'm going to go with a card game. I'm intrigued.
Last night, I was naked and playing poker with my wife. A poker chip accidentally fell into her vagina. Is there any chance of pregnancy?
No. How did it fall in? Like, I can understand if it falls, between her legs. Like, was she playing poker upside down with a funnel in her vagina? Oh. I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, that mental image.
But this is like when people are like, oh no, I fell in her vagina. This isn't rape. I just fell. I tripped. It don't work like that.
Just... Ugh. I think it's very much a situation of just like, oh yeah, the gnome fell up my ass and it got stuck itself. Or I fell on the light bulb, or I think it was put
there.
It
depends. I have questions. I have questions.
Okay.
Did he on the chip before it fell into her vagina? Because if so, then there is a chance of pregnancy, but it has nothing to do with the chip. There is one way you can get pregnant, people, and that is that there's only one way.
Yeah. Yeah. And a poker chip isn't one of them.
A poker chip does not have the ability to do that.
No. As this agony aunt says, chips don't contain sperms.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of story. That's it.
But why? Why?
It's like, nope, your wife is not pregnant. 100%.
Congratulations.
Not pregnant.
You will not have chip babies.
Chip babies.
I'm just imagining those tiny little french fries.
Yeah. She just gives birth to a whole potato.
Oh, good God.
On another pregnancy note, here's, my mum's dog attacked our postman. I tried to help him. Then one thing led to another. Now I think I'm pregnant.
I saw that one.
What are your thoughts?
I like how blasé she is about it.
Me too.
Just like, one thing led to another and now I might be pregnant.
Turns out, might be pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is like the classic suburban wife cheating on her husband with the postman.
Uh-huh.
Like, there has been 100%. There has been many a novel about you, my dear. You can play this however you want.
On many Nicholas Sparks novel.
You can play this however you want. I mean, the right thing to do is to tell your husband. And to tell the postman.
Yeah, I hope the postman knows.
But, I mean, as long as there's no real defining genetic characteristics of said postman that are different from your husband, you could probably get away with it if you're that way inclined. But you are a terrible person if you do that.
Yeah. Are you ready for a really long Agony Aunt question that I haven't even read fully? So I don't actually know where this goes. I've just seen the headline and know I need to read it. Okay. Sit back, relax, and prepare for possibly the strangest Agony Aunt question since Leon's milk.
I'm sitting back.
You know what I love about these Agony Aunt questions, right? Is a lot of them begin with their age and their job title.
I love that.
I don't get it. I don't get why.
I don't know.
Like, what difference does that make? I am a 25-year-old civil servant whose main job for the past 3 years has been designing septic tanks for schools, while my girlfriend of 5 years is a zoologist specialising in reptiles.
Okay.
Since graduating, we've worked hard to stay together. Her job means travelling a lot, so we are relocated every few months. We've spent a lot of this year in the Galapagos Islands, where she studied the effects of coffee on iguanas.
Okay.
Yeah. However, a few months ago, when I got a long-term job, I put my foot down and said we had to stay near my new place of work after her studies came to an end. It caused some friction at first, but it seemed to be going okay for a while. Then she started buying lots of pets.
Oh no.
It started out with a small tortoise, which I was fine with, but she began buying more. It feels like she's punishing me. Now we have a parrot, 10 different types of lizards, and a salamander that she carries around in her handbag.
That is not the place for a salamander, my dear.
Mm-mm, Paris Hilton style salamander. I've tried to tell her it's getting out of hand, but she just got ratty about how we had to move for my job and she ought to be allowed to follow her passion. With one of the lizard enclosures now in our bedroom, it really has affected our closeness. Every time we're about to share an intimate moment, I can feel the lizard staring at me from the tank. When I suggested we move it out, she stormed off and came back with 3 more fucking tortoises. I'm worried that her love of reptiles is going to push a permanent wedge between us. To make matters worse, my mum recently told me that she never approved of her because she's scared of lizards, ever since she had a traumatic experience with a gecko as a child. I'm at my wit's end. Help me.
Oh my God. You know what? Leave her. Send her in my direction. I love the way that this girl reacts to arguments. Just like, I'm fucking pissed off at you, so I'm going to buy 3 turtles.
My favourite bit.
Love that.
Of this whole question is, my mother is scared of lizards because she had a traumatic experience with a gecko as a child.
That's...
How can a gecko be traumatic?
Well, can they not jump quite far?
I don't know. Shall we ask this girl?
She would know.
Right, okay. So how many pets do they have? Right, okay. So they've got a parrot, 10 different types of lizards, a salamander, the first tortoise, and then she buys 3 more. So that's 16.
You know
pets.
What? It's a lot, but I know people who have that many kids.
Actually, I'm just going to show you the image that's attached. I know, unfortunately, you guys can't see it, but do you see her?
I do.
Please describe.
Think maternity shoot, but instead of the guy, it's a lizard on her shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's butt-ass naked, lying on her front.
Uh-huh.
on being like caressed by a lizard, and she's looking at him lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she has an obsession, but I also think that neither of them are right for each other if they're going to get that ratty about the other person's passion.
Exactly, because first, the guy gets quite pissed off that they're having to move house, which I get. Moving about every few months will be a little bit annoying, but you're with this girl and you know what to expect. You've been with her for
five years. Like, it's like anybody who's with me should know that I'm going to be moving about.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of the lifestyle.
It's just your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're not okay with that, then that's something you should have dealt with right at the start.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're both equally as bad.
Yeah. I just don't think they're right for each other.
Yeah. No, this is very, very
typical. I do agree with him on the whole lizards in the bedroom thing, though. I don't think pets should have a living space in your sleeping quarters.
Mm-mm. The little speech bubble in the middle of the article is, when we're intimate, I feel the reptile's stares.
I love it.
Me too. Do you want to actually...
It was the same thing, like, as well, like you wouldn't... Like, I wouldn't let a dog into the bedroom if you were, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. Do you want to hear
the... same lizards.
Do you want to hear the agony aunt's answer?
Please.
Okay. Well, first off, you get the prize for sending the most unusual letter I've ever had. Not the most unusual we've ever had, so I mean, he doesn't get the prize for that one. However, your issues aren't that different to those of many couples, minus the iguanas, salamanders, and so on. She has a passion that's threatening to overwhelm your relationship. For some people, it's golf. For other people, it's football. Or it might be an obsession with Elvis. Whatever it is, she has to realise that successful relationships are about compromise. You've spent a long time following her around the world and supporting her career, and now you've had a chance to support yours. She clearly still resents the decision to move, which is why she's getting back at you with fucking lizards.
I mean, they have a point, like, you have to compromise, but there is also a certain point where you compromise so much that you aren't, neither of you are being yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can compromise to a point.
Yeah, this agony aunt recommends pretty much what we've said. She says get the lizards out of the bedroom. She wants this guy to draw up a list of the things that you want and the things that you are willing to compromise on, and then just hand it to her.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, there's some things that you, as you say, like, willing to compromise on, and some things that are an absolute, like, definite, this is how it has to be, so.
Yeah, and she does end the question by saying, if you love each other, you'll find a way to make it work.
Which I disagree with that.
I disagree with it too. I
think you can love someone to the end of the earth, but it doesn't necessarily mean it'll work.
Yeah. I think she is so petty and you're not able to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, this is a discussion of, like, your passions outside of the relationship, so and those are two different things, you know.
Yeah.
you can really, really like someone, you can be, yeah, as I say, love them to the end of the earth, but if your passions don't line up and don't work with each other, then it's never going to work, and you're always going to be angry at each other, so you have to make sure that those fit as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do have a few questions for her, but we know we're never going to get them answered, so I'm not even going to ask them. I just want to know if they still have all the pets.
Yeah.
Or if they're even still together.
True, yeah.
You would imagine.
I don't think they will be.
No. But because she's a zoologist, right?
Yeah.
You would imagine that she would have her fill of pets.
You'd expect her to have pets.
You would expect her to have pets, but you wouldn't expect her to have that many. That's like she's got her own zoo. That's Carol Baskin territory.
Yeah, that is getting a bit excessive.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's something that you should look at to see if she can compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that she can't compromise on, then she needs to find herself her own Carol Baskin.
Yeah. She needs to find another person that's maybe owns a zoo.
Yeah. So, yeah. See what you can compromise on. It's not going to work. Find people that fit with your passions and your lifestyle.
Yes.
Life advice with Hannah and Alex.
Are you wanting one final quick agony aunt question?
Go on then.
Again, they say I'm 43-year-old. I don't see why this makes any difference. I'm a 43-year-old man. My wife believes that I'm having extramarital affair, but it's not true. Every day she applies a little bit of nail polish to the tip of my penis to check that I'm being faithful. I start to feel a burning sensation and it hurts me. Please help.
Get out.
Yep. That's it. End of story.
Done. Just get out. That's all I have to say on that. Well, I've rather enjoyed that today.
Yeah, me too. I love a good agony aunt question. As dear Abby said to us, that our work is soul satisfying.
It is.
I love
it. So if anybody has any more questions that they would like to send in to us, they don't have to be funny, they could be serious, they can be little problems, they can be big problems. We'll try our best to answer them. We might not give the best advice. I'm going to tell you that now. Mm-hmm. But we'll try our darn bestest.
Hannah turned Texan. yes, so please send your questions to podhanda@gmail.com. That's podhanda@gmail.com. Or you can visit our anchor page, which is anchor.fm/hapod. You can leave us a voice message over there if you truly desire. And you can find out everywhere that you can listen to us over there. And if you really want more content from us, you can follow us on Instagram, which is H&A Podcast. It's at H&A Podcast, so that's H&A Podcast. And we post nearly every day over there. Just little things. And if you have any agony aunt questions that you don't want to email but you want to send us via Instagram, please do. We love a good Instagram DM. Thanks, dear Abby.
Yeah. And we are going to start up a continuous hashtag for our Instagram. So if you have any posts that you would like us to see, or you would like to help kind of spread the word of this podcast, then stick hashtag H&A pod, so that's H&A pod. So you can put that on your stories, you can put them on Instagram posts, and whatever you want, just to spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word, share us with your friends. That is where, like, word of mouth truly helps.
Yeah,
small creators like us. And if you share us with your friends, share us with your social media buddies, we'll hopefully be able to be bigger and better than ever before.
Yes. It's been lovely speaking to you again.
It has been delightful.
And to our lovely listeners, we will speak to you again next time.
Bye.